So this week we decided to do something a little different. We are switching it up where Alexis will give us the story.
I thought the story was going to be a simple abduction case, but boy was I wrong. This story just keeps getting crazier and crazier, and it's so hard to tell what is the truth and what is kind of fabricated.
Hi guys, this is The Missing Ones. I'm Liberty Campbell.
And I'm Alexis Peterson.
How are you? I feel like we haven't talked all week.
I know. It's just been so crazy. Like, I feel like this week has flown by. Can you believe that it's already the end of February? And when this will post, it will be the beginning of March?
No, especially where we were at last year. I found a meme today that was joking about the coronavirus and how we like survived Y2K and Ebola and a bunch of other crap and how we were going to be okay through Corona. And that feels like a totally other, like totally different world.
Yeah. So
that's been interesting.
I've been worried about is as of like the past couple days is so McDonald's has the Shamrock Shake, which is their mint shake that only comes out during the month of March. And I've seen some people already posting that they've gotten it. I've been to two McDonald's and nobody has it. And I'm
what
so
a weird
mad.
Thing to worry about.
What? I know, but it's like
what a strange thing.
It's something that I wait for like every year. And so now I'm really mad that people have been posting that they've gotten it and I have yet to find it. And I even asked the person like handing me like my order, I was like, hey, when are you guys gonna get your Shamrock Shakes? And she was just like, I don't know, and like just completely rude.
That's okay. Like, the people at our McDonald's here are extremely rude. I don't even go to McDonald's because they're so rude and like they're terrible. They're just not good at their jobs.
Yeah. Well, but I'm sure working in fast food is kind of hard.
But I can understand your desire for a Shamrock Shake because I love the pumpkin pie blizzards from Dairy Queen. Those are my jam. I could eat those year round. So that's just me, but
yeah. So have you done anything exciting this week?
No, I ate a box of Girl Scout cookies all by myself. Does that count?
I'm so jealous. I love Thin Mints.
Oh, I still have some in the freezer too. The lady at my mom group, I bought them from her daughter who wasn't even there, but next thing I know, I had $25 worth of Girl Scout cookies and needed to figure out what to do with them. So I ate them. That's about as exciting as my week has been.
I pretty much only like the Thin Mints, and my mom buys a whole case of Thin Mints just for my dad.
Oh, that's sweet of her.
But I don't get any. I'm like, what about me?
That does suck.
Especially since I was the Girl Scout who was selling those cookies.
Yeah, that's not fair. I sold Girl Scout cookies too. Duncan likes the Samoa ones with the coconut and stuff. Those are the good ones too. Those and the trefoil ones with the peanut butter. But I've noticed that they like the chocolate on all of them is getting like waxier and waxier. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
It's like it's not as good as it used to be when we were kids.
Yeah. Well, they also used to be a lot cheaper too.
Yeah, they used to be $4 a box when I was a kid. I don't remember though.
Yeah, that's what they were when I started too. And of course, you know, they were cheaper than that before us. And
man, and yet minimum wage is still at $7.25. Can't even buy a box of Girl Scout cookies.
You can buy one box, can't you?
Yeah, yeah, you can buy one box with $2.25 left over.
Yep.
That's gas money right there, man. Oh, wait, that's not even a gallon of gas.
Well, depending on where you are.
Yes, you're right.
I mean, that's almost a gallon here, because we're at 250.
You guys are at 250? I don't know what gas is here, but diesel was 279 the other day. That hurt a little bit. That was not fun. It's frustrating.
I don't even want to Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say it's frustrating because I hate paying the high prices, but I know that when it's super low, my brother is like struggling in his career. Like he works in the oil industry. Mm-hmm. So part of me is like, I wish they'd go back up so he can provide for his family. And then the other part of me is like, my family doesn't have any money. I wish they'd go back down. So it's a toss up, but it's fine.
That's hard. He just needs to work on the California side because I think they're like $3 to $4.
I think that he would rather cut off his own feet and hands before he worked anywhere near California. he is not a, but to each their own.
I mean, right.
Everybody's got their own opinion about different states. So he works in North Dakota right now. To match. Are you up to anything?
My husband finally got his car back, so I got to sleep in today, which is so nice.
I'm so jealous.
But now he's making me get up at 7 a.m. tomorrow to drop my car off at the mechanic to
finally... I feel like you should not do that.
Well, we're gonna go drop it off, and then we're gonna go to the beach, and then spend the day at the beach, then pick my car up, and then go to work.
Why is yours being dropped off? What's wrong with that?
Because, so the day after I bought it, the check engine light came on. And we took it to, like, O'Reilly's or somewhere. And the O2 sensor was broken.
Interesting.
And so they were like, oh, like, just bring it back to us and we'll fix it for free.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, great. So we took it to them and they assessed it and they're like, oh yeah, we need to order that part. And then so we're like, okay. So we got our car back or my car back. Then we dropped off Ryan so his could get checked out and fixed. And then we were supposed to bring my car back the next Saturday. But then because we were down to one car, we couldn't really do that.
Oh, that makes sense.
And
that makes sense. My sister bought a car and the check engine light came on. And so they've been like fixing it, but they've had it for like 2 or 3 weeks now. The dealership gave her a loaner car and it broke down last week.
Oh, no.
So she's like miserable. She's like, I just want my car back, which I totally understand because not having a car sucks so bad. She was borrowing our stepmom's car for a while, and now I have no idea what she's doing. But supposedly she's coming to get my kid in the morning, so as long as it's drivable and I can put a car seat in it, I don't care.
Yeah.
That's all I care about, is that I can put a car seat in it.
That's nice that you'll have a kid-free morning.
Oh, I'm so excited. You have no idea. I'm going to wake up, put clothes on her, put her in her car, and go back to sleep. That's my plan.
Sounds lovely.
Because Duncan also has to work, so I'm going to get to be alone.
Ooh. Are you going to pamper yourself?
No, I'm asleep.
Yeah. Well, that could be a pampering.
I'm going to sleep.
Yeah. It's okay. You get a child-free, husband-free day.
I'm so excited. I had one of those a couple weeks ago after I was really sick. And what I did is I cleaned the entire house, and then I just sat in my nice, clean house all by myself. Without him and without her, and I watched whatever I wanted and I ate whatever I wanted. It was magical. Did I tell you about what Duncan is getting me for my birthday? Like, a week later? He's getting me a phone case that says Olivia Benson is my spirit animal. And let me tell you, I could not be more excited.
Nice.
Because I wanted a hoodie that said that, but their sizing was super fucked up. So... So he found that phone case, and I'm so excited.
Yeah, anytime I tell Ryan, oh, I need to get this, like, he's like, well, don't get it, and I'll get it for you. And I'm like, but... Like,
or I could just order it now, and it wouldn't be a problem anymore.
Right. And he's like, I'll just get it for you, otherwise I won't have anything to get you for, like, you know...
Yeah.
The next occasion. And I'm like, well...
You're like, if I need it, I need it.
You know.
Well, not only that, but you don't want stuff that you need. You want stuff you want.
Right. So, are we ready to get into this story, or?
Yes, I will give us a quick disclaimer. This episode will talk about child abuse, and if things like that are triggering to you, please proceed with caution.
So recently, our cases have been a little bit older. I think the last case was 1980 something. Is that correct?
Yes, Mitchell Owens. It was 1983.
Yeah. So with those cases, it's easier to get all of the information because that's already come out from like since those are sealed case or like closed cases, it's I feel like it's a little easier to find all the information because it is a solved case. So I wanted to do a story that was a little bit more recent just to give a wide range for our podcast. And so this story happened in 2021 and it just happened last month. I feel like that's pretty recent.
I would say so. I'm really excited to hear what you have to tell me.
All right. So on Monday, January 18th, in Greece, New York, Dimitri Cash Jr. and Shakira Cash were taken from their foster home. There's a loud crash, and so the foster mom walked to the front of the home. She saw two masked men climb through the window, and as she screamed, two of the foster children who were living in the house came down to see if she was okay. And at that point, the masked men wrapped them and bound them together, put duct tape over her mouth so she couldn't scream. And then there's a little bit of variance of stories. She didn't specifically say anything past this, but some reports have said that they also pushed the bunch of them down the basement stairs and then beat them at, before heading upstairs to where the rest of the foster children were.
Okay, wait, was this in the middle of the day?
No, this happened around like 8:40 p.m. So the kids had
Okay, so
just
like
gone to
bedtime.
bed.
Okay.
Yeah. That's when the masked men, after heading upstairs, they specifically grabbed the Cash siblings from their beds and stole the family's van as their getaway car. And that's when the Amber Alert was issued for the two children.
So the foster mom called the police immediately, and then they like immediately issued the Amber Alert.
Yeah, I'm
Is that
not
what you mean?
sure
Okay.
exactly who called. I think it was I don't know exactly who called. So after that happened and they got away, someone was able to free them because the foster mom was bound to the children and taped over her mouth. And so I don't know if someone saw two people getting in the van and they were masked and
Could it have been one of the older foster kids? Because you said there's seven living there. They took the
Yeah,
two.
there's seven foster kids living in the home. The oldest was 11. Not really clear of who was bound and who may have called. But later on, just a spoiler alert, from what I read, it said that the person who called in the Amber Alert said that it could have been the dad who took the children. Like he was a person of interest.
Okay. So my guess is it probably was the foster mom. She somehow got loose or something and like called the authorities and was like, "Hey, I have these two foster kids. Chances are it's their dad." That makes
Yeah.
sense.
Yeah. I can't remember. Anyway, so I'm gonna leave that right there and we're gonna go a little back in time before this incident. So let's go back and talk about why these children were in the foster home to begin with. Dimitri Cash Jr., Shakira, have two older siblings. I could not find any information on these siblings or the mom, the biological mother. The main focus from all the research I can find is on the father, Dimitri Cash Sr., and the two children who were taken. For sake of sanity, I'm gonna refer to Dimitri Cash Sr. as Cash, and that way it's a little easier to understand who I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's a lot of names. I mean, it's the same name multiple times, but different people. So,
right.
I don't blame you.
So, Cash and the mother had been in a custody battle over the four children for about 3 years. And it intensified when the children were moved into foster care. And that happened, I think, around November, December of 2020.
Do you know why they were put in foster care?
I think it's because of his prior charge. So in January of 2020, Cash was arrested after forcibly removing Dimitri Jr. from a dismissal area at his elementary school. At the time, he was not the custodial parent. The CPS representative, as well as the principal of the school, tried to intervene. And when Cash refused to cooperate, he left the building with the child and the other child who was with him, which I believe is Shakira, but it's just said his 2-year-old. So when he left, he loaded them into his vehicle, then shoved the principal out of the way, and then struck the principal with his car as he was backing up to get away. And after a 3-hour search of the city, the children were found safe.
Oh, geez, Louise. So, like, he's known for taking his own children when he obviously doesn't have custody.
Right.
Also, let's not attack our children's school teachers and authorities. Let's not do that, yeah?
Yeah. So I will let you say what he was charged with for this incident.
That is not a short list. He was charged with 2 counts of endangering the welfare of a child, which is a misdemeanor, 2 counts of criminal contempt, 2nd degree, a misdemeanor, 1 count of custodial interference, 2nd degree, also a misdemeanor, a 1 count of reckless endangerment, 2nd degree, a misdemeanor, and 1 count of harassment, 2nd degree, which is a violation of, I'm guessing, his parole, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I couldn't really say what it was.
I was going to say, or it could be a violation of the custodial agreement.
Yeah. So Cash had been posting online trying to get people to sign a petition saying his children was wrongly taken from him under false accusations. Part of the reason why the children were taken was they had claimed that there was signs of abuse, mainly coming from the older 2 children. So that's what the custody case was originally about, was the older 2 children and the abuse that they were getting.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. And we'll go into that in a little bit. But his biggest point about his problem with this was that the judge had previously had a history of bad judgment. I guess in a prior case, she had granted the father, who was a convicted rapist, custody of a child.
I strongly disagree with that.
Obviously
don't know the situation, but
yeah,
I don't feel like that was a great decision.
Yeah, I don't know the history or the research on it, but that is what Cash is claiming, saying that he had the children wrongly taken away from him when this other dad, was allowed to get his kids back.
I see what you mean. So it's like, okay, why was this asshole allowed to keep his kids, but I can't keep mine? Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and a lot of family members are saying he's a great dad. And there's also been, he's also claiming that the kids while in this foster home are facing abuse because he's saying that the kids had dirty diapers leading to rashes and having cuts and bruises on their face.
Which I don't completely not believe. Like, foster homes, especially group homes where there's a lot of kids, depending on how many caretakers there are, it's really hard to take care of everybody. And so, not necessarily saying that Cash is dad of the year, but he's probably not completely wrong about the neglect that they were facing in the foster home.
Yeah, and CPS hasn't come forward to say anything. As far as I can tell, there's not an investigation into the foster home. But those are the claims that he's making for his case. And his change.org petition about it has received It's halfway there to the signatures he needs. So normally family cases are sealed, but in December of 2020, he filed an appeal. And because of that, disturbing information came out about the prior abuse of the older two children. And this included serious injuries to the older children, both a boy and a girl, consistent with being beaten with an extension cord.
Ouch. Not okay.
Yep. And the oldest daughter described being beaten with a wooden plank with a smiley face drawn on it.
Like the one from Ed, Edd n Eddy. Did you ever watch that?
I did. I think so.
Plank. That's what that made me think of. I shouldn't laugh, but that's what that made me think of. I'm not laughing. I'm not laughing at the kids. Like, right. That's horrible. This guy's an asshole. But I find it humorous that they also had a wooden plank with a smiley face on it because it makes me think of Ed, Edd n Eddy, something I watched in better times. Continue.
So she was beaten to the point where her bottom would bleed and she would have to use a damp Kleenex to stop the bleeding. And those were words from her.
So I strongly dislike this man.
And a pediatrician documented several welts that were consistent with long-term abuse. And during the investigation, it looked like the abuse came from both the mother and the father.
Okay, so I know you said that there wasn't a lot of information about the mom, but do we know where she is now at all?
Mm-mm. I couldn't even find a name. Some of the information, this is where it starts to get a little skewed too. Some of the information was like, well, the mom wasn't really battling for custody, and some were saying she was, and so I'm not really sure.
Interesting. Very interesting.
So yeah, and then during the court case, during the appeal, they asked him what his take on physical discipline is, and in his own words, he said, "You can do what you want with your own children."
They aren't clothing. No, no, that's not how that works. Your children are a part of you. They are not they're not an object.
Yeah.
So I take back what I said. It's possible this guy was semi-decent. He's an asshat.
Yeah. So it's really hard to tell, like, is this just a dad who's trying to get his kids back? Or is it, you know, is CPS really taking the right steps and putting these children in a safe place?
I think that it could possibly be like a combination of CPS probably isn't doing their best, but this cash guy is absolutely an asshole.
Yeah. So the Division of Appeals ruled on November 20th of 2020 to affirm the family court ruling, citing evidence of neglect. And that's when Cash started the GoFundMe page in December of 2020, saying that the children were being mistreated, even though there's not a whole lot of evidence to support his claims. Like I said earlier with the change.org petition.
So it's like very clear that he obviously wants his kids back, but he doesn't want them back for the right reasons.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell because, you know, he's been posting on every social media he has, his Facebook, you know, he created both a GoFundMe and a change.org to try to get awareness saying, this loving father should get his kids back because this judge is crap and in a prior case allowed X, Y, and Z to happen.
He sounds a little bit like a creep. But he does have a point about the judge situation. Like, I will give him that. And depending on what the actual case was, there could be a lot that goes into it that we don't know anything about.
Right.
So if the judge really did do something crappy and, like, gave custody of someone's children to them when they didn't deserve it, then he has a valid point. But if that didn't actually happen, then to hell with him.
Right. So now we're going to go back to where I left off earlier. When the Amber Alert was issued. Like I said earlier, when the person called in to say that these kids had been kidnapped, they said that the dad might be a person of interest. When the Amber Alert was issued, that's when there was a huge spike in that change.org petition, and it gained over thousands of signatures to support Cash's custody battle.
So this guy, technically kidnaps his kids, and then all of these people are like, yeah, he deserves custody.
Yeah, well, this was before.
Rather suspicious.
Yeah, this was before people kind of knew what was going on. This is right when the Amber Alert was issued. So he's posting, "Oh no, my kids are missing. They've been kidnapped."
Oh, I see.
Kind of.
Okay.
And then people are like, "Well, if they got kidnapped from this foster home, clearly the safest." And again, if you look on his change.org, it's kind of putting him in the limelight and the judge, down in the gutter.
Okay, that makes more sense. I was thinking that he arranged it or whatever to have his kids kidnapped and then like had a bunch of people sign it. But that makes so much more sense that he was playing it off as, oh my gosh, these kids have been failed by CPS in their foster home. Okay, that makes so much more sense.
Yeah, well, the change.org is still currently getting signatures.
I am going to add that we will not be sharing that because we don't know the full story of either side. So if
Right.
you are interested, you can contact one of us. We can give it to you and you can like decide on your own, but we will not be sharing that.
Yeah, we want to try to stay neutral. And I'm just reporting what has been released by different sources, and we will post those sources in the show note. By using GPS, they were able to track the van where it was later found abandoned. And then by tracking phones, and I guess through blood work, because they found a little bit of blood on the window that the people broke through, they were able to track down this rented car that was rented from Rochester area and driven to Alabama. Once they tracked the home where the car was like linked to,
The
within
rental
40,
car was linked to.
yeah, at least that's from the reports that I got. They weren't super clear, but they just said, because I don't know if they never said that I was linked by a name. They just said that I was linked through GPS and telephones and all this other stuff.
Well, as far like it's my understanding that rental cars typically have a GPS system on them for situations like
Yeah.
this. And then it's possible that whoever took these kids were dumb enough to use their real name, and that's how they figured out where they were at. But that's my guess.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But within 40 minutes of learning the address, they put surveillance on the house. That's when they saw a woman drive from the house in the car and was pulled over shortly after. So they watched her for a little bit. And then when she was on the move, they like pulled her over, I think a couple streets down or something. And that's when the kids were found on the floorboards of the rental car under a blanket, unharmed. The woman's name is Kamara Pobolsi. Sorry if I got that wrong. And she was arrested in connection with the kidnapping, obviously, because the kids were found in her possession.
Obviously, I would hope that they charged this woman because that would be strange if you had two kidnapped children in your car and didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, so the connection to her and Cash isn't clear, but it has been found that she is friends with his catering business on Facebook.
So I wonder if she was one of the two people that broke into the house
Yeah,
and took the kids.
because one report says because they took some blood from the window that it made it seem like it was linked to her, but it's not really clear. And then another reports that says we have these two people in custody, but we're still trying to figure out the two men who broke into the house.
Okay, because I remember reading in one place that it was two men arrested in connection, but it being her as one of the men because she is quite manly looking. What I'm trying to say is that I wonder if it's possible that she was one of the two people that broke in because you said they were masked, right?
Right.
So, unless like the blood or the DNA suggests that it was two men, I think it's possible that it could have been her. Or she was the getaway driver, and that's how she's connected. And, like, I don't know. It's hard to say. It's hard to know without, like, all of the information.
Right. And so most of the reports that I've found say even though they have her in custody, they're still looking for the two men who broke in. So that's just based on the reports that I found, so I can't tell if she's one of those people or not.
Okay, so it sounds like they don't think she's one of them if they're still looking for, or like looking for the two people that broke in.
Yeah, so, but I haven't seen very many updates on the case. So I don't know if everything's just kind of like under wraps for now.
It's very possible that they won't really release a lot more because the more information that they release to the media, it's more likely to muddy the waters when it comes to prosecution.
Right.
At least that's my understanding. I'm trying to set up an interview with someone to like explain that type of stuff to us. So when that happens, be excited because it'll be really
Yeah.
cool. But like my understanding is that they don't want to release a ton of information all at once because it can muddy the waters for like jurors and actual prosecution.
Right. So then, after 48 hours of being kidnapped, the kids were safe, watching Tom and Jerry and eating chicken nuggets at the time of the press conference about their rescue.
Yay! We actually have a happy ending. For once, we actually know where the children are. That makes me happy.
So, after getting the woman who was in the car with the kids, they arrested Cash and charged him under Section 20, which states that he might not have physically had anything to do with it, but he was intentionally, knowingly, and unlawfully committed to kidnapping, burglary, and robbing.
It's kind of like how Joe Exotic is sitting in jail for paying some guy 2 grand to kill Carol Baskin. And even though the guy didn't kill her, Joe Exotic was still put in jail for murder for
Yeah.
hire. That's what it sounds like to me, at least. I mean, obviously, this wasn't murder, this was kidnapping, but
It's
it
along
sounds
the
like
same
that
lines.
kind of situation.
Yeah, it sounds also like another case that maybe we'll do. And it's about this dad who killed his disabled son to get the life insurance money. And he did it through a hitman. Cash's preliminary hearing was on February 3rd of 2021, but I have not seen any updates since. Yeah, as hard as I could try to find any updates of anybody, it was really hard. But the children have been returned to their foster home in Greece, New York, and I'm assuming they're happy, hopefully.
They're probably a little traumatized, but I'm glad to hear that they were found safe. They're definitely going to have to go through some therapy and some situations like that to, I don't know how to explain it, to get on and move on with their lives. And I think that there's probably going to be a long court battle ahead, and all we can really do is look for updates.
So this was a super interesting case. Like I said earlier, I thought it was going to be a simple, abduction case, parental abduction like we've covered before. But as I was doing research, there was all these like little webs that was like, then I found out about his prior, like Cash's prior history and, all these different things. The custody case and
It sounds to me like he wants really hard to be a good dad, but he thinks of his children as property instead of
children.
as children. And he absolutely went about getting custody the wrong way. But that's just what it sounds like to me.
Right. And I wonder if because it seems like the first arrest he has is still like pending, like it hasn't been gone through or anything.
Yeah, because that happened in December of 2020, right?
No, that happened January of 2020.
Okay, so it's only been a year. I mean, cases take a really, really long time to go through the court system, especially in high populated areas like New York. I mean, I know they're not in New York, New York, but I mean, it can take years for stuff like this to go through. So it might be a long time before we get any kind of update.
Right, because he had been already battling this custody battle for 3 years, and then in January he got arrested for all of his misdemeanors at this elementary school. And then, so that kind of it was still being processed by the like CPS in the court case. I couldn't find exactly when the children were put into foster care, and I couldn't even tell when, like if the older two children were in the same foster care as the younger two children. But if that was the case, then they were left behind during the kidnapping. The main targets were the two youngest children.
Interesting. Yeah, there's a lot of holes, which is like really normal, especially for newer cases, because, like I said earlier, releasing a lot of information can make things foggy and muddy for prosecuting the guilty. So keep that in mind. A lot of people like to get upset when, myself, and this is myself included, a lot of people get upset when a kid goes missing and they don't share any real information, like immediately, because you're like, I need to know so much more information in order to help find this kid, but you guys won't give me any information. They can't, like, it's just not, it's not logical. It's not easy. It doesn't help their case in the long run. So keep that in mind. That's a big part of why we don't have all the information right now.
Yeah. And it could be that they are holding on to the information until they get the other two men too, because they don't want to let them know they're onto them.
Yeah, exactly. So they don't want to release a bunch of stuff into the media until they absolutely have a solid case. All of our sources can be found at themissingonespodcast.wordpress.com. And any links will also be found there as well. Links to our Instagram, TikTok, Facebook group, and other social media will be in the description box of this episode. The best way that we can help is by being aware, talking about it, and spreading facts over fiction.
So remember, see something, say something.
In the past couple of weeks, we have been highlighting a child who is missing, but there's not a lot of information about them. This week it's October Barrett. He is from Oklahoma, or he is missing from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. He is 16 years old. He is white with sandy hair, blue eyes. He is 5'10 and around 215 pounds. October went missing on February 23rd of 2021. And that's all the information that there is about him. If you or anyone you know anything about him, call 911, or you can call the Oklahoma City Police Department at 1-405-231-2121, or the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children's tip line, which is 1-800-843-5678, or 1-800-THE-LOST. Thanks, guys, for listening. This was hard to talk about because child abuse and neglect and the foster system is triggering for a lot of people. So I am glad that Alexis brought it to our attention. Remember to follow us over on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Missing Ones Pod. You can also join us over on Facebook in our new discussion group. Just search the Missing Ones discussion group and hit join. We really want it to be a space for people to come and talk about the podcast, about other missing kids and other cases to draw their attention. And most importantly, guys, please share us with your friends.
Bye.
Have a great week.